So, do you come to Milwaukee often?
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Actually, it means the good sports land.
We're back, episode 7 of the Good Sports Land podcast here on MadCitySportsZone.com. This is the first official road trip edition of this podcast because we are live in Phoenix, Arizona, where the Milwaukee Brewers are underway with spring training. Today was their first practice where they had the full squad there. So throughout the weekend, Brian Braun, Christian Yelich, all those guys were reporting. All the players had to report yesterday. So that would be Monday, depending on when you're listening to this. And then they had their first full team practice today. Owner Mark Antanasio addressed the team. Craig Counsell addressed the team. And so this, generally, we are focused on basketball because we're in the heart of Milwaukee Bucks season. But since we're out in Arizona, we're going to really break down what the Brewers did today, not only as a team, but some of the individual stuff looking ahead for the season. And at the end of this, you'll hear a one-on-one conversation with pitcher Corbin Burnes, who it's kind of interesting. Some of the stuff he had to say about his offseason versus his last offseason. And then Craig Counsell didn't really mince words when I asked him about Corbin Burnes. And he said, well, you'll have to wait until later in the episode to listen to it. But it's very interesting, though, kind of path they're taking with Burnes and the approach and the motivation for Corbin Burnes. But today was my first time at the American Family Fields of Phoenix, and let me tell you, great facility, 100% a great facility. Like, you walk in, and I thought one of the coolest parts, and I tweeted out a couple pictures of this, when you're walking in, they have some of the retired numbers from the Brewer greats. And they have, like, their number or their name written on these, I guess, statue-type things. But they also have one for Jackie Robinson. And so I took pictures of Jackie Robinson. I took a picture of Hank Aarons. And then, of course, they had Raleigh Fingers, Robin Yount, Bob Uecker, and some of just the really cool faces of baseball, very important faces of baseball, but then important faces of the Milwaukee Brewers franchise. So that was cool. And it's, I mean, you can just go so many different ways. The fields, the multiple fields that the team has to practice on, the fans there to watch practice, that was pretty cool to see. But I want to start with, well, let's preview who you're going to hear from on today's episode. And got to talk to a lot of different people in the Brewers organization today and people that play for the team. So you're going to hear some audio clips from Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun, Mark Antanasio, Corbin Burnes, as I said, Craig Counsell, maybe Jed Jerko as well. I'll fill you in on why that's a maybe in a second, but I want to start with this because I got back and it's kind of funny, maybe, I'm not sure. So Mark Antanasio today said, you'll hear a little bit later, that the team was operating at a loss last season. They signed some big name free agents, Yasmani Grandal, Mike Moustakas, and the team operated at a loss in 2019. So I left the practice facility and needed to go write that story for MadCitySportsZone.com. And I thought, like, oh, just pop into my hotel's business center. It's a little different than the room. Can write it in there, whatever. The only thing, and I'll tell you, I was in that business center for about 4 seconds because the only business that has ever happened in that center was cats peeing on the floor. My nose hurts just even thinking about it right now. Like, I walked in this room and was just like, nope, this is not a place where any business has ever happened outside of cat's business. Like, there is no other way. If any of you guys have ever owned a cat, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So work did not get done there. So then I had to walk. Then I got hungry, of course, and tried Carl's Jr. for the first time because that's right in the neighborhood. And, we'll just call it I called out Carl's Jr., but I didn't call it the hotel for having the disgusting business center. But either way, we're making the best of the accommodations here out in Phoenix / the Maryville area, because whatever. But now that I'm done ranting about a free trip to a hot climate and a hotel room, we can get into the important stuff today. So the first thing, the news broke, I think on Monday, Craig Counsell was talking about what the team is going to look like this year, and Christian Yelich is going to play left field. Ryan Braun is going to be in right field / a lot of first base. Lorenzo Cain in center field. Those will be the predominant starters. They're also very high on Avi Garcia and some of the places. He can basically play all three positions is what it sounds like. So Christian Yelich was asked about it today, and I'm going to play this clip, but then I'm going to react because I want you just to hear the confidence in Yelich's response to being asked about playing left field.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as easy as, like, you just play left field, right field. I found that out when I went and played right field. I probably still have more innings in left field in my career, even though I played the last 2 years. Right, but I did left a lot in Miami, not so much since I've been a Brewer, but they're definitely different, but I'll be fine.
What a pro Yelich is. You listen to how he sets that up. He tells everyone, it's not just easy. You don't just go from right to left or left to right, blah, blah, blah. But then he ends it with going, I'll be fine. And I'm not positive, but I think there was a little wink at the end of his response there today when he just goes, I'll be fine. So Yelich going to play some left field. He did shag some balls out in left field today, ran through a lot of different team drills as well. Stuff I wasn't exactly sure he was going to do, whether it was backpedaling to field balls that Eddie Cedar was throwing at the guys, and a lot of stuff that involved knee and bending of the knee and agility and things like that. So he looked very good. He looked healthy. Had a forget what you call that, kinesiology tape. I think he had some of that on his knee today, but that's most players have that a little bit of everywhere, so that's nothing to even think twice about. But yeah, he was out there making the switch to left field. He did say that he played more left field in Miami than he has in Milwaukee, and probably still to this day has more innings played in left field than he does right field, just hasn't really done it for the Brewers yet. So that'll be interesting to see, but it doesn't sound like a huge change. And although he claims it's not as easy as just walking from the right side of the field to the left, he said that that he'll be fine. So I really like the confidence that he kind of just displayed there. But also, here's what else he had to say about just the whole right field versus left field.
I'll play wherever. Doesn't matter to me, wherever you think is going to make us the best, whether it's left, right, wherever they want me. And so, yeah, it looks like we're going to roll with left again. Done it in the past, obviously, so yeah, it's not too big of a deal, and it makes us better. I'm all for it.
And as I mentioned, with Yelich moving to left, Ryan Braun's going to play a lot of right field. And let me tell you, it's listening to Ryan Braun talk and listening to just Mark Adonazio earlier today talk about how Ryan Braun was their first draft pick when they bought the team going into the 2005 season. He was the ownership group's first draft pick, and now that generation is either out of the league, most of those guys, or contemplating retirement. And Braun was talking today, and he mentioned how this could be the start of his final spring training.
Pretty consistent topic of conversation around here for everybody. You know, the game itself has gotten so young. I think there's constant reminders that I'm one of the oldest, if not the oldest guy in the room, basically at all times. So it's something that I enjoy. I do think I find myself a little bit more sentimental and nostalgic than usual, just knowing this could be the beginning of my last spring training. So just, you know, full of gratitude, enjoying every moment and every day.
And although he might be contemplating retirement at the end of the season, the guy still has it. If you check it out on Twitter, I posted a video. He was throwing, I want to say, 25, maybe 30 yards. That kind of sounds far. And that's probably pretty accurate, 25 yards with Christian Yelich. And I don't know if Yelich was aiming for me, but he just kind of airmailed one just casually as the drill was ending, just tossed one up. And I was standing kind of close behind Braun, and the ball I could definitely see was going over his head, so I moved to the side a little bit and kept the video rolling because, obviously, I'm a professional. And Braun leaped up and snagged that one out of the air, and it was really cool. It got a good reaction from the fans, and then he looked in the camera and looked over to the side. I think he said, you're welcome, or something funny like that, but it was a pretty cool moment. But either way, he had a decent season last season, and he's still looking to build off of that, is what he said earlier.
I hope to build on last year. You know, I think when I look back on last season, one of the things I'm most proud of individually is just being available every day. It's not an easy thing to do at 35 years of age for 162 games. You know, so the goal is to be available every day, hopefully build on what I was able to do individually, and for us as a group, build on what we accomplished as a team, which was getting back to the postseason for consecutive years, which is an incredibly difficult thing to do. So hopefully there's more of the same this year. Obviously, our division will be very challenging, as it's been the last couple years, and you know, that whole process starts now, so we're excited to get started.
So if Braun does decide to retire at the end of the season, obviously it's a choice that he's going to make with his family. He has said many times they got the third kid on the way, so it's just a decision he's going to have to make. But as growing up a Brewer fan in 2005 was, you know, going into, I don't even know if I was a freshman in high school yet, but just going into that, you know, it's been Ryan Braun, and it was Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder, and it'll be weird if he's not on the team, but it's interesting to talk to him about kind of the just progression of the final stages of his career, and if he finishes here, if he finishes elsewhere, if there's a team option on his contract, all of those things. But he is determined to help the team this year, and I actually think he's going to be able to, because whether it's first base or in the outfield, they obviously have guys that can back him up. And he has talked about just getting the same number of at-bats, the same number of kind of games as last season, but maybe just doing it at different positions. So I'm curious to see how it works. That's another guy where the addition of an Avi Garcia, we'll see if Corey Ray steps up a little bit. Ben Gamel's still technically on the roster. He gets forgotten about in that outfield a little bit too. So there's some guys to platoon around Braun. There's some guys that can give Braun some off days and see how long he can stretch this one out. But everything on the field, you know, obviously it's day one, so his body's as fresh as it's going to be all year. But everything looks good. He's saying all the right things. And if you're a fan of this franchise, you're going to want to see him have some success and, you know, go out on a positive note, hopefully, you know, preferably with a World Series championship. But we'll see how all that plays out. But the big story of the day today was owner Mark Attanasio talking about the team operating at a loss in 2019. And he spoke to the media for a good 19 minutes today. It might have even been closer to 20. And one of the things that came up toward the end of his availability was just talking about free agents and price tags that they put on guys. So I got a couple audio clips here that I want to just put out there and then react to, just because I think it's important to hear it from Mark Attanasio himself. But he talks about the cost of free agents and restrictions or lack thereof that he puts on his general managers, going back to Doug Melvin and even talking about David Stearns, but also how the team really did want to bring back Yasmani Grandal. So here's just a couple clips from owner Mark Attanasio today, and to read more up on it, and I'll explain after the clips, but madcitysportszone.com.
Yeah, we had an operating loss last year, and, you know, if you're going to run a baseball team properly, the season snapshots, you really have to look on a rolling basis how you're doing. We had some years as we were building, and we always want to, you know, keep our powder dry somewhat for the next opportunity, whether it comes at next season or next offseason. Franchises get into trouble when they overspend and end up with a mountain of debt, and then you go into a long period of rebuild. We have had, you know, in 15 seasons, this is an media guide, I didn't commission this statistic. The team is fifth in the National League in wins over our 15 seasons, and I put our group, give our whole ownership group credit for that because they've been supportive of everything we've done. You know, top five gets you in the playoffs. We weren't in the playoffs every year, but that's what we're trying to do. And so we don't want to dig a hole for ourselves. And, you know, there's nobody we missed this offseason because of price that was on our list. You know, we did want to sign Yasmani Grandal, so maybe one.
And before he made these comments, he did talk about how he doesn't say no to his GMs.
We had an opportunity with Yasmani Grandal that he came to us without doing a long-term deal, and then Mike Moustakas was available, and you know, we had a budget that exceeded the budget. We could get Moose, and we got him. And so I think that there was really, if you look at around the edges, there's really nothing. In fact, I asked David this question, you can ask it. There's nothing that he didn't do this offseason that he wouldn't have done if we'd had a different budget number. And he's always free to come to me and say, look, I want to do fill in the blank. I want to acquire fill in the blank. And I've never said no.
If I'm Christian Yelich, I love these comments, right? If the owner is going to go out there on a limb and say he's never said no to bringing back a player solely based on cost, then if I'm Christian Yelich, I might show up with the Brinks truck, because that contract is coming up next. And, well, not next, but that's going to be the next contract that you hear talked about on ESPN, on Baseball Tonight, about that next, what is it going to be, $300 million plus? And Christian Yelich obviously deserves that. So hopefully that's in Milwaukee. But if I'm him, I'm bringing up these comments like, hey, you don't tell your GMs no when it comes to cost. But it's interesting how he says those things. So I wonder if there are bigger stories, like what actually happened with, I guess, Yasmani not so much, but with Mike Moustakas, with guys that have left in the past, even dating back to like the Prince Felix, Antanasi owned the team when Prince Fielder left. Obviously, he took over in 2005. Like, I wonder if what really happened there with some of the other guys that they lost. But the team, and this is what I wrote about on MadCitySportsZone.com, the team did shed salary this year before, and I'm recording this before Brock Holt's contract is official and on the books. They're right around $91, $92 million in payroll this year. That's 23rd in the league. Not the league. In Major League Baseball, I guess. It's across the National League and the American League. Last year, they spent about $137 million. That was 15th in the league, and that was still one slot below the team average. So they've shed, math isn't my greatest thing, but 25, 30% of payroll from last year, and it was because of the clip where he said they operated at a loss. So they made some moves. They traded Chase Anderson to free up some money. They got rid of Eric Thames to free up money. Same with Zach Davies. But then again, at the same time, because you have to put together a roster, they went and they kind of built piece by piece. And if you look at the top 10 players' compensation on this Brewers roster, five of them are new guys. Avi Garcia, Josh Lindblom, Brett Anderson, guys like that. Those are all guys that are top 10 in payroll this year. The team still, just like last year, has three guys making more than $10 million, Lorenzo Cain, Ryan Braun. This time it's Christian Yelich. It was Yaz last year. But, you know, five of their top 10 guys in payroll are new, so the team does spend money. It hasn't been on a major ticket item that I think everyone's expecting or wanting. Let's go with wanting. And unless this team makes a trade where they bring on a bunch of money, they're going to be toward the bottom portion of the league in terms of payroll this year, and we'll see how that affects wins and losses. But, you know, Avi Garcia is making $7 million this year, so you got to hope that that free agent signing really pays off, because they did cut salary. And I think with what Antanasio said today, now we really know why. So I want to keep moving, because you guys know I don't like to work that hard, so I don't want to make this podcast that long. But I do want everyone to listen to my one-on-one with Corbin Burnes at the end of this, because some of the stuff he says is very interesting. But before we get to him, I did also have a one-on-one with Jed Jericho today, and we talked about the Brewers bringing in free agents. He was one of those guys. Jericho played for the Cardinals, for the Dodgers, and I guess I don't really know why, but I'm not going to play you guys the whole interview, but just a portion of it. It was probably some of my worst work that I've done, and I just still feel the need to put it out there, because I went out there and did some of the interview, but I just wasn't good. They were stupid questions. They went nowhere, and it's got borderline embarrassing, but I still wanted to put it out there because we're pretty open on this podcast and wanted you guys see. It's not as easy as some of the guys really make it look on television and other places, and I do some good interviews. I'm going to pat myself on the back on that one. But my conversation with Jed Jericho today just wasn't good, and it was my fault. So I'm going to let you guys take a listen to just a portion of that, and I am open to all feedback, because I hope it gets better. But yeah, not a great performance on my end. So I wanted to start with, obviously you've played for a few teams, one of those being the St. Louis Cardinals. So you make the decision to come play for the Brewers. What, like, when you were playing in St. Louis, do you have any memories of the kind of the rivalry back and forth between these two squads?
Yeah, played against these guys a bunch, but it was always heated, always a good good competition, two good teams that kind of just went after it. And I'm excited to be on this side. I'm looking forward to playing those guys 20 times and just getting to know all these guys and moving on.
And so obviously with St. Louis and L.A., you've been around some teams that are just used to winning, used to playing in the postseason. What can you kind of just bring individually or personally to this locker room that has aspirations of getting the postseason for the third time in a row?
Just playing good baseball. That's what it comes down to. Trying to be a good teammate, doing whatever I can to help these guys out. And we'll see how that plays out. I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, but be ready for anything.
So have you even gotten to Milwaukee yet, or did you just come?
No, I just came straight here. I flew out there for a day for my physical.
Okay.
I've been there a bunch, but I'm looking forward to it. new spot, new city, new people to get to know. So it should be a lot of fun.
Were there any like spots that you always went to when you were in town with some of those other teams?
Not a ton. I'm not much of the going out and doing a whole lot of stuff, but I'm sure I'll find my way around and figure out what spot to live and go from there.
So as fans kind of get used to you this season, what's something maybe behind the scenes that they don't know, like favorite movie, favorite superhero, things like that?
I don't know. I'm kind of an open book, so I think everyone's going to know kind of who I am pretty quick, but keep a little mystery for now.
For sure. So there was more to that interview, but that was this little snippet we're going to give you guys. Say one, moron, it is a clubhouse, not a locker room. The same reason I don't call the coach or the manager the coach. I got to learn the vernacular back and forth. Baseball is not basketball. Sometimes I forget that. So every time I say locker room, I feel stupid. And I think that's where the interview really went off the rails. But it just wasn't good work, but I was interested to get to know him a little bit and talk to him today, because he's going to play an important part in that Brewers infield and kind of that platoon. I tweeted out some pictures of him taking reps with Eric Sogard at third base today. Then they moved a little bit to short, and I think Craig Counsell has said a few times that those guys are going to move all over the place in the infield in the spring, and then they'll really find a home and see what they end up doing. But yeah, that was my attempt. Maybe I'll try again tomorrow. I'll keep you guys updated. On tomorrow's podcast, there's a couple other guys in that locker room that I want to talk to. Lorenzo Cain, some more with Avi Garcia, because I really think he's going to be a fan favorite. Might do a little something special on him tomorrow. But as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I did get some one-on-one time with Corbin Burnes today, which was nice because he was very open just about his offseason and how that differed from last year. So I want you guys all to take a listen. But afterwards, then, I'll rejoin you guys. You're not done with me yet. Because I asked manager Craig Counsell, I'm going to call him coach. I asked manager Craig Counsell about Burnes' offseason as well, and he didn't really hold back, and some of the things that they talked about were pretty interesting. So here is an actual interview that I don't think was as bad as my conversation with Jed Jerko, but Corbin Burnes probably carried this one because, yeah, like I said, on the Jerko one, not on my game whatsoever. So thanks to Corbin Burnes for kind of picking me up here. Oh, before I start it, though, there is a part you'll hear me mutter the word sorry because, one, apparently I don't know how to operate my own two feet, and while interviewing him, he was sitting down and standing for some of it, and I guess I sway my feet a little bit or pick my feet up, and I stepped on a shoe. Middle of the interview, just casually stepped on like the guy you're interviewing shoe, so, yep, that's on me, so had to apologize mid on that one. But either way, you'll hear this now, and I started off by asking him just about the new clubhouse and the new vibe with so many different faces on the team this year. The Brewers have, Sophia Minter tweeted it out, 60 people in camp this year, and it will be 61 when the Brock Holt news is official. So 60 players in camp. I have not talked to all of them yet, obviously, even though the locker room was a ton. The clubhouse was a ton of fun today. But here's the good stuff with Corbin Burnes, despite me stepping on a shoe. But we did start with the new clubhouse and the new faces all around.
You know, it's definitely gonna be a new feel. It's last couple of camps I've had here, it's been for the most part familiar faces. So coming to the camp this year, we have a bunch of turnover on the roster and a bunch of guys on invites to camp that are new. So it's definitely gonna be a different feeling camp, as far as it's not only are you getting to know the guys on the field, but you have to get to know them off the field too. So it'll be a different off season, but exciting.
Yelich just said he thinks all baseball players are kind of the same, give or take a few. So turnover is really not that hard. Is that kind of the same vibe you get?
Yeah, I mean, as far as we're all kind of the same breed of person, but I mean, everyone has their own little quirks and stuff. You got to get to know about each other, so it'll be a little different, but nothing crazy.
So how was this offseason for you? Because in 18, sorry about that, you're dominant down the stretch, and obviously last year there's some ups and downs there. So was there a different approach this offseason, or do you kind of just keep it even keel?
Yeah, it was actually a pretty different approach compared to what we've done the last two off seasons. After 18, took a significant amount of time off. Going deep into the postseason, not having thought that much before. Mm-hmm. Took some time to have the body regroup and get ready. And after this last season, we took about 7 or 10 days off this year, and we're back at it pretty quickly. So they were still playing, you know, World Series games, and I was already back in here, you know, working out and throwing. So it was one of those things that, yeah, it's a little different off season, but we had a pretty good plan of what we wanted to attack this off season, and you know, coming into spring, we feel like we're in a good place.
So does your body like feel better after doing a more extensive off season this year than in seasons past, or is it kind of the same?
It's kind of the same. It's just one of those things that, you know, I had a different focus this off season. Previous year it was more of just getting the body physically ready, getting the arm ready. This offseason is more of taking a mental approach, and along with getting the body, physically ready and pitching shape ready. But the main focus this offseason was the mental side.
So many people this offseason have looked at the roster and the pretty much the mass exodus, whether it's Moustakas or Yasmani, just the guys that have left the team. But when you look at the guys who are still left in this locker room from years past, you got Yetley, you got Braun, you got Lorenzo Cain. How much confidence can that just instill in a locker room that the guys in charge know what they're doing?
It's huge. I mean, the group we have returning is a great group of guys. Last year there were some guys that had some down years that are looking to rebound this year. It always hurts losing some of those big name guys, like you said, and we'll miss them around here. But the group that we have returning and the group that the Brewers, the organization brought in this year is going to help complement those guys, and we're excited to get after it, and we feel like we've got a pretty good group here.
And then when you look at just the pitching staff itself, I know you threw a bullpen session the other day, but are you looking to come out of the pen this year, or is it going to be more of a starting gig, or do we just not know yet?
So as far as we know right now, I'll be stretched out pretty much all of spring training.
Okay.
Looking for a spot in the rotation, kind of in the same spot I was last year. Kind of that guy coming in looking to make a one of the rotation spots, and that's kind of the focus coming into camp here. Is they've said, hey, we just need to get you out there, get some innings in, and we'll see how things shake out. But right now, competing for a rotation spot, and after we get 3 or 4 weeks here into spring, you'll have a better idea and a bigger picture of what's going on.
So I know you said you only took 7 to 10 days off this offseason, but when you're not playing baseball, for the fans who like to get to know the player behind the scenes, what kind of things is Corbin Burns into?
I'm a big golfer.
Oh, okay.
So play some golf in the off season, but this off season the main focus was on some wedding planning. Getting married in November, so me and my fiance Brooke, it was a lot of getting things covered because you don't have to deal with it during the season. So we're still a good 7 or 8 months out before our wedding, but we got pretty much everything planned. So
strategically after the month of October,
right. So this year was a lot of wedding planning, and got a new puppy, so playing with the dogs.
Ooh, what's the dog's name?
Oakley. So
Oakley?
We got a 3-year-old golden retriever named Daisy, and then I guess he's 8 months now, and the 8-month-old Brittany named Oakley.
Very cool. All right, man, thank you.
Yep,
appreciate you.
No problem.
So that was that. Corbin Burns getting things started a lot earlier this year, and then I did ask, because it kind of seemed abnormal, but I did ask manager Craig Counsell if he has seen a different demeanor out of Corbin Burns, because he sounded like he took the off season just by the horns and he didn't want to wait any time. He wanted to start pitching and getting right for the season. He did obviously say that he's going to be competing for a starting role in the Brewers rotation, but I asked Counsell specifically about just his demeanor and his competitiveness, and here's what the skipper had to say.
Corbin did take a different path this winter for sure, and probably the season caused that, but for me, it's not, there's no evaluations going on right now, so for Corbin, just a lightness to him is kind of what I want right now. He's fired up about what he's doing, and that's the best part, because he should be. He definitely has put in a lot of work, and he's made some adjustments kind of all over, himself as a player. And right now he's rolling with that, and it's all good. Give him a chance to face some hitters here in a couple of days and let it go.
So that was just my day one at Brewers spring training out in Merrillville or Phoenix. The American Family Fields of Phoenix is what they're called, so I'm going to say that we're out here in Phoenix. But that was just day one. I thought the most interesting stuff was Corbin Burns, and big thanks to him and Jed Jericho. I should apologize to Jericho again, but big thanks to both those guys for taking time to chat one-on-one with me today. Got some other stuff that's going to sit on ice. We'll post throughout the week. There'll be some more interviews and things tomorrow and the next day and so on and so forth. So quick behind the scenes I'm recording this in my hotel room because, as I told you, the business center was not a place for business. And I'm pretty sure the people on both sides of the wall can hear me. So if you guys can hear me recording this podcast, sorry about that. But I didn't really have another place to do it, and I didn't really want to sit at the Carl's Jr. and eat any more Impossible Burgers with and record a podcast there. So did in the hotel room, and I apologize if you guys can hear me through the walls. But big thanks to everyone else who listened. Sorry you didn't get the live edition. Maybe that should happen at some point. Get a couple of guests, get a live podcast going. But there will be more. Stay tuned throughout the week from Brewer Spring Training. This is the Good Sportsland Podcast on MadCitySportsZone.com.